This is another one from the archives. I recorded this conversation back in 2006 in Dublin, and for one reason and another, I've just been sitting on it since then. This is a chat that I had with Brian Bellendorf about the history of Apache and all sorts of other related subjects. I went to a presentation at EDUCAUSE, and they were talking about how they're looking back at like the original World Wide Web conference, and they had brochures, they had a few PowerPoint presentations.
The one at CERN?
They had T-shirts. They had nothing. They had no notes. They had no records. And so they were going back, and maybe this was just them because they weren't paying attention. They were talking about a lot of different conferences.
I think I have a program from that conference. I'm not sure. Anyways, yeah.
But they were talking about how we're losing our history. Because we're always submerged in media, and so we don't bother writing stuff down anymore, and we don't bother having detailed notes about what happened at the conference. And so they were trying to capture a lot of audio history as one possible solution for that, sort of reminiscing with people about how things happened. And
the difficulty with audio is that it's harder to index.
Yeah, it's very hard to index.
And there's this great audio blogging manifesto. Did you ever hear that thing? Somebody in the GNOME community made this. I forget who it was, or Maja something.
I don't remember.
Anyways, yeah, it's all about how, okay, we're talking, let me give you a reference, http://, tinyurl.com/, if you're lucky, otherwise it's this big long thing. You know, it's just that, inherently, yeah. Audio is sometimes is less flexible, mutable, referenceable, and hyperlinkable. Yeah. More challengingly than text is.
Yeah, and that's part of it. And the other part of it is, we have some cool people here within the ASF, and we want to tell the world about us. And this is just one medium in which we can do that.
And the nice thing about audio is that you can capture in an ad hoc way the kinds of communications that we're all doing at this conference, and the reason why we're here rather than trying to do the same thing over email back at home, right?
Yeah.
Anyways.
So all of that just to introduce, and I don't really know what I want to ask you, so I don't know. I remember the first time that I met you, and I was even more in awe of you then, and this was it.
Since then, the star has definitely faded, and
It was at OSCON in Monterey, I think.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to shake your hand.
Well, hopefully, I was respectful.
You were very kind. And in fact, that was one of my introductions to the ASF about these are real people. And what you said to me was something along the lines of, well, I was just doing what I thought was the right thing to do, and I was in the right place at the right time, and that was kind of cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do try to emphasize to people when we talk about how did Apache come about with, consensus-based decision-making and the kind of the project management committee kind of model and other things like that, and even back earlier, what was this, why did this group of seven or eight people have this point of, spark of let's start a mailing list? Well, that was what everybody was doing back then. When you had some common interest, it was let's start a mailing list, right? And share ideas as peers rather than as kind of, one person's idea above the others. And what I also try to point to, like the IETF, and where, the protocols that we depended upon on the net came from, right? And how for many of us there was that concern in 95 that the internet was going to get commercial, but that it would get commercial to the advantages of one or two big players, right? That it might have been Netscape at the time, or whomever, but that there was a concern it would become owned, in effect owned. And I think there was, as much as there was this pragmatic concern amongst those of us early on that, hey, we wanted to build a better web server because we all had startups and we all wanted to do cool things with this technology, there was also this real idealistic concern about keeping the web free that I think now does play out in all these other spheres around XML, around Java, around everything else. But when I said I was just doing what seemed right at the time, time, it was definitely because it was what people had done around SMTP and SendMail, around DNS and Bind, around Gopher. I remember my first website that I'd set up being set up using this server called GN, which was a Gopher server that just kind of coincidentally happened to talk this experimental protocol called HTTP 0.9, right?
Yeah.
And you know, and that community around GN was the, you know, a community where people were sharing patches. And, yeah, there was one or two people kind of leading it, but it was a flat space. And, and I liked that a lot. So I wanted to, that's why I said it just felt second nature to me. Like, we wouldn't do it any other way.
Yeah. I don't know. So what are you doing these days for Apache?
For Apache. What have you done for me lately?
No. Yeah, that came out really well, didn't it?
It's all right. Yeah, and I have really significantly stepped back from Apache, you know. I have stepped back. And about a year ago, I didn't run for re-election to the board. I do still get the members at, you know, emails and a lot of the other infrastructural mails and such.
But you still speak a lot, right?
Or don't? So I do. So I decided I needed, about a year and a half ago, I needed to hunker down and select a few things to really focus on. One of those was CollabNet, you know. Mm-hmm. CollabNet is a thriving company. We've got a whole bunch of customers now. And we really have been doing a different angle to what I wanted Apache to accomplish, which was, you know, Apache was about, let's build a lot of great commodity, supportable, you know, components that were all about building communities and making it a very flat space. I also wanted companies internally to start to get what open source was about, and be able to do some open source, some more open source packs, you know, sites like, you know, what we've done with like Sun and BEA and whatever. But it was also kind of this kind of Robin Hood-esque kind of, let's parachute into a company and get them to think about sharing code, get them to think about consensus-driven development inside, like to around the whole dark matter of software, right? You know, the stuff that's written inside and never distributed out, on the premise that if you can teach them to do that, then it's easier for them to rationalize being involved in projects like Apache.
Okay.
Right? They can start to see, yeah, they don't have to build these deep proprietary stacks of their own tech and pretend that there's value there. Instead, the value is in sharing the value. So anyway, so that was one thing I said I need to hunker down and focus on. And also, really, that I felt that the community of 1,200 committers and 200 members had, you know, some really good support mechanisms of its own now. It could survive without me. I felt like the company that I had built of 200 people really still needed me on a day-to-day basis, right? So, and kind of the rationalization I went down that path. The other was, there's like a few other things that I'm still involved in. One of them is the Mozilla Foundation. Mm-hmm. I'm on the board of directors there. And it's a very different kind of organization than Apache, insofar as where Apache has been really driven by how much can we drive through volunteer efforts and making it very much about lots and lots of different developers and companies that they work for and being a nexus point. Mozilla has always had a full-time staff, right? And has always required, and part of it is architecture, part of it is legacy, part of it is the kind of product they're in, which is a very consumer-facing product. It's required full-time developers and full-time build managers, full-time architects, people like Brandon Eich, right, to sit there and drive a lot of the core development. And even though there's a lot of outside participation, it's still something that required a staff of 40, right? And so you start to think about money in a different way because you have to, you know, pay those salaries. And so I saw that as kind of an interesting challenge, and so I jumped into that. So I still, though, continue to talk about Apache. So I spend about half my time traveling, giving speeches at conferences, publicly as well as kind of privately. You know, like, I've been in Europe now for about 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, and it's like every other day it's to a company to speak to a group of about 50 over lunch, right?
Okay.
And a lot of it is, here's how Apache got started and why we got started, and to some degree how it works, and not so much in the details about PMCs and such, but more about here's how you find collective self-interest. Here's how you can really have people focused on solving their own problems and opportunistically finding others and working with others to solve joint problems. And the efficiencies that come from that, you know, and the and to some degree, moving away from this, like, dark model of software engineering, you know, which is treats which treats programmers as cogs in a machine,
sure.
and treats your software engineering group as a factory that you just crank faster, you'll get faster code out or something like that, or more code. Instead, this is kind of, I think, open source, and especially Apache, is a return to the programmer as being an artisan, as being a craftsperson, and taking public responsibility for the work and public credit for it at the same time. That this whole cog in a machine mentality really took away from, and I think did some damage. So that's kind of what I'm spending my time on these days, you know, is kind of at a meta level. Hopefully it's helping Apache by driving some more companies towards it. Like I said, I still get all the flame mails and all the the interesting stuff that goes on, and I'm really happy to see how Apache has grown, you know, especially over the last year and such. So, but yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Cool. Well, my battery is almost gone, so I should probably quit. Save it before I lose it.